Today, another opportunity to talk with the experts from Sanford Health of Northern Minnesota. Dr. Colleen Swank is a pediatrician and the vice president of clinics. She's here, along with Dr. John Aninas, an OBGYN. Welcome.
Good morning. Good morning.
Well, let's start with you, Dr. Aninas. Pregnancy in a time like this, an expectant mother might say, this timing didn't work out real well.
It's an interesting time both to be having a baby and to be an OBGYN for sure. I think the challenging part is all the information we're getting about COVID-19 is still evolving and it's changing rapidly. But now that we're knowing more, it looks like the vast majority of pregnant women have a very mild illness. About 85% get a very mild illness. About 10% of patients will need to be in the hospital, not necessarily the ICU. And then only about 5% of patients actually end up in intensive care, and that does not necessarily mean ventilator support. So that mimics the general population and what we're seeing. So that's actually really good news. I think a lot of patients have concerns about, is it safe for me to come out to clinic? Is it safe for me to get care? And the answer is yes. It is still safe and important for patients to get the care that they need.
Okay. What have we seen as far as the effects on the baby?
So right now there is no substantial proof that there is any risk of transmission from mother to baby. The other important thing that we're seeing is we are not seeing impacts on the baby after birth. So unlike our Zika outbreak from a few years ago, we're not seeing birth defects or other issues with the baby. The data that's coming out from New York and the other centers around the country is babies are testing negative. So we don't think it's being transmitted between mom and baby.
Okay. And Dr. Swank, just to reiterate what she talked about being safe to come in, we talked about this, I think, last week or the week before. A lot of steps taken at the clinics and the medical center to make it as a safe an environment as possible.
Yes, absolutely. So when people come to our campus, they will notice providers and others being masked, and that is for the protection of both themselves, but specifically patients. We know that a percentage of people will be able to transmit the virus even when they don't have symptoms yet or they're asymptomatic. And so by masking, it prevents that possibility if you're getting within 6 feet. You'll notice that everybody that comes into the campus is required to answer some questions to see if they are having respiratory symptoms or if they've been exposed to somebody who has COVID-19. And in that way, then we can make sure that those patients are taken to a different area. So that we're not commingling people in waiting rooms and things like that. We have a separate respiratory clinic, and so those with respiratory symptoms are being seen in a different, have a different entrance in a different clinic than patients that are coming in for OB care, diabetes care, well checks, that type of thing. And so it is definitely a safe place to be. It's always been a clean place, but we're even taking extra measures as far as cleaning rooms in between patients, all of those things. But for some people, they're still going to be nervous and then maybe not want to be seen in person. But it's still really important for people to continue to get their care. And so I think the thing that I would really like to stress is there are other options, specifically video visits, and we can help patients be seen by their provider, by a specialist via video visit. All they have to do is call and we'll figure it out. Now there's going to be certainly some conditions where you do have to come in, but then you can be reassured that that a lot of people are being seen via video visits or the traffic is less here, and so you just really don't have to worry. We'll make sure you're safe.
Okay. Dr. Aninas, of course, when my wife was pregnant, she made sure she was eating better and doing lots of things, and that's a pretty standard behavior when you're pregnant. Is there anything beyond what we've already been told over and over again about how to take care of ourselves during COVID-19 that a pregnant woman should maybe be doing?
Pregnant women should follow the same precautions as every other person. It's really important to hand wash, to socially distance yourself, stay at home if you can. Now is a great way to take advantage of how our community has shifted and take advantage of grocery pickup, if grocery delivery is possible or if someone can do the pickup for you. If you want to do takeout and support your local businesses, that's a great way to kind of keep yourself safe. But the big thing is stay at home and take good care of yourself. And, of course, if you have any concerns about symptoms or about your pregnancy, or if you're concerned that you may have had an exposure, you should call your physician right away. We are ready to take those questions over the phone and direct you to where you need to go to get the care that you need.
Okay. We talked about the video visits and how convenient that is and helpful for a lot of things. But in a pregnancy situation, I would think you still need to see your patient in person on a routine basis.
So that is correct, that we do need to see our patients in person on a routine basis, but we have followed the guidance of the American College of OBGYNs and also the Society for Maternal-Fetal Medicine, and we are modifying what visits need to be in person versus what visits can be done via telehealth. So they, both organizations have strongly encouraged that we adopt telehealth for some prenatal care. So we are trying to bundle our visits. So if you're coming to clinic for a prenatal visit, we have you come to the clinic during a time when you're due to have either some lab work done or an ultrasound done. So you get everything done in person with just one trip to the clinic. And then often our visits will alternate. That being said, if there's anything that's concerning at all about a patient's symptoms or concerns or about her baby that comes up during a video visit or a phone visit, that patient is immediately instructed to come into the clinic, and we make arrangements for that.
Okay. Dr. Swank, let's have you put your pediatrician hat on here. For parents with kids at home that maybe aren't getting the exercise they're used to getting, that maybe have some symptoms of something as well, what should they be doing to try to get them to be as healthy as possible in this at-home situation?
So I think it's a stressful time for kids, and depending on the age, their level of understanding about what's going on can be different. And so I think just having open conversations with them and really open-ended conversations so that you can get an idea of what they're stressed about, what their thoughts are, and then you can correct any misinformation that they might have. I think that having a routine is really important, so keeping your routine. So, you know, if normally they'd be getting up at 7:30 or 8 in the morning, then continuing that, having a consistent bedtime at night, of course, offering healthy food and snacks is important. And then, as you mentioned, the exercise is important. So figuring out something that you can do together, you know, it could be playing hide and seek. It can be playing tag in the yard. It doesn't have to be anything really formal. And now that it's starting to get nicer, you know, walks or bike rides are important as well. I think letting the older ones socialize with their friends via FaceTime or another medium, if you have the opportunity or the ability, is important as well. And staying connected with family. And then just using this time for family time. So, you know, eating together, eating supper together, if that's a possibility, playing board games. Just trying to make it as calm and consistent and as least scary as possible.
Okay. One of the topics that was up on the list of potential topics to discuss was risks of home birth during a pandemic. So is that something people like to do?
So home births in general have been increasing in the United States. There's been a lot of kind of promotion of home births due to celebrities. Ricky Lake did a documentary and videotaped her home birth and shared it worldwide and really demonstrated that it seemed like this calming and wonderful and safe experience. The concern is while there are certified midwives
in Minnesota and in various communities with varying levels of experience. Birth is one of those things that is really safe and uncomplicated until something goes disastrously wrong. And that's where we come in. So there's a much higher mortality rate for women and infants born at home. The rate of a baby dying after a home birth is 4 times higher in the first month of life than a baby born in the hospital. And that's for a variety of reasons. A lot of times women will look at data on home births and see that, yes, it's super safe and there's less risk of complications and I get to stay in my home where I know that it's safe with my loved ones around me. And the issue is that taking data from other countries like the Netherlands where patients aren't as sick and there's different training and there's also much better postpartum follow-up in terms of they have visiting home nurses, lactation support that come to your home automatically versus here that would be a little bit more challenging to coordinate and provide to patients. So it's not comparing apples to apples. So we have taken great lengths on our units and in our hospital to prepare for this and ensure that the birth experience is safe and as much as a family-oriented process as possible. Right now, we are limiting to one other significant other or partner support person at time of delivery, and that person would stay throughout the duration of the mom's stay and not exchange out, which that's been the biggest shift for us. We all saw that initial information coming out of New York where women were being separated from their partners and the fear was delivering alone. No one here is going to be delivering alone. That is not our intent. We want families to be together. Another concern that gets voiced in my office quite frequently is, if I have symptoms, are you going to take my baby away and separate me from my baby? And the answer is no. That initial time after birth, there's something we refer to as that golden hour. That first hour after birth is really critical for both mom and baby. We like to leave that time undisturbed and focus on skin to skin and breastfeeding if women are interested and really work on bonding during that time. So we want to respect that. So we're following the CDC's guidelines in terms of mom continuing to mask. We are encouraging breastfeeding among these patients as well, both because it's got benefits for mom, but also there's significant benefits to baby. So we're using this postpartum time for any mom that may have COVID-19 to really teach them how to safely provide routine prenatal cares to their baby in this era with this illness. So when they transition home, they feel confident in providing that care.
Okay. What is, and this is for either of you, what is our overall picture right now in Beltrami County as far as COVID-19 goes? Last I heard, it was still pretty low as far as cases go.
Yeah, so in our Sanford region, so what we've tested at Sanford, there is still just 7 positives, and the last positive was 13 days ago. Okay. We've tested about 292 people total. So that is looking really good. It really appears that we do not have community spread in our community. I think our biggest risk right now is we've got a subset of our population who winters elsewhere. And we also have people from other communities that come to our community to open up cabins this time of year. And so one of the things that we are asking and strongly recommending is that those people, when they come, shelter in place, self-quarantine for 14 days. And by that means not going into the gas station, not going into the grocery store, having a neighbor deliver them or using the delivery service, not going over to the neighbors for a cup of coffee in the morning, really just being there alone for 14 days. And then after that, we're happy to embrace you and welcome you back. Now, of course, that's a little bit different if somebody is sick and they're newly back to the community and they feel like they need health care. absolutely, we want them to be seen. What we would ask, though, is that they would call in first so that we can prepare for them. And so they can say, hey, you know, I've just been back in the community for 6 days, but I'm, you know, having chest pain, or I'm having a stomach ache, or whatever it is. And then we'll just make sure that we take those extra precautions in case that they have COVID-19 and don't know it.
Okay. And Dr. Ninus, before we wrap it up, what would be the two or three bullet points you absolutely want a nervous mother-to-be to know right now?
I would want my moms to know that we are prepared and we are ready to take excellent care of you in a safe environment and protect you and your family, both from other illnesses, whether it is COVID-19 or even the complications of childbirth. We are prepared. Our clinics and hospitals are a safe place for you to come, and I want women to feel very confident in that they will be well supported. And the other thing is looking at our postpartum patients. Just because you deliver your baby doesn't mean you go into quarantine for the next 6 to 12 weeks and we're leaving you alone. Our care is ongoing even in the postpartum period. So if women need help with questions about breastfeeding, we can do telehealth or video visits to help with breastfeeding. If there's questions about bleeding, about mood stuff, especially postpartum depression, postpartum anxiety, which definitely are becoming more of an issue in the state of the world today, we're prepared for that, and we want to hear from you, and we want to help you. So we are still here for you. You just need to give us a call.
Dr. John Ninus, an OBGYN at Sanford Health, and Dr. Colleen Swank, a pediatrician and vice president of clinics, joining us today. Thank you for taking time and sharing with us this important information. We really do appreciate it.
Thank you for having us. Thank you.